सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ So we are on the portion where Arjun, even though quite afraid of the Ati Ugra Roop that he's seeing, the very Bhayanak Roop that he's seeing of the Lord, is has gotten into stuti, has gotten into praises of the Lord. And it's a prayer, praise in the form of a prayer from verses 36 to 46. And we have seen up to verse 40. Basically, he has extolled Bhagwan, saying that you are the Purusha, you are Purana. So all description of Bhagwan, and starting with Sthane Rishikesh means whatever, everything is correct, it's in its place. And from there, we are now proceeding, and we are in verse 41. We did till verse 40 last time, where he says, infinite ananta, namaskars to you, right? Prostrations, salutations. Now he realizes, because now he has realized the greatness of Bhagwan, he realizes that in the past, he had not treated Bhagwan with respect. Now he knows the greatness. That time he just thought he was a friend or a brother-in-law or a cousin. And so now that regret is coming up, because he's like, oh my God, what did I do? I didn't treat Bhagwan with the respect that he really deserves. And therefore we go on to verse 41. Saketi matva prasabham yaduktam, he Krishna he Adava he Saketi, ajanata mahimanam tavedam, maya pramadat pranayena vapi. Whatever I have rashly said from carelessness or love, addressing you as O Krishna, O Yadava, O friend, and regarding you merely as a friend, unknowing of your greatness. So there are three things that Arjun is now saying here. I called you Krishna, hey Krishna. Saketi matva, having considered you as my friend, because they were very good friends. And whenever Bhagwan visited the Pandavas, Arjun was the one that spent the most time with him. So they were very close friends. Saketi matva, having considered you as a friend, I called you, sometimes I called you Krishna, sometimes I called you Yadava, sometimes just a friend, you say, oh friend, people address like this. And he comes to realize that I call you Krishna, ajanata mahimanam, ajanata, not knowing. He says, I didn't know your greatness so far. Because I always teach you, like, how would he know anyways? But ajanata mahimanam, greatness, ajanata, without knowing your greatness, I called you Krishna. It should have been Bhagwan Krishna or something like that. I just called you Krishna. And then tavedam maya pramadat. Pramada is inadvertence. Inadvertence is, sort of in an insulting way. This Yadav name, the original king of the Yadus, this Yadu, the original king, actually had been thrown out by his father. So actually to call Bhagwan by the name Yadav, he was a Yadav, but to call him, Arjun is doing it, had done it kind of sarcastically, like, okay, I know your ancestor was thrown out of the house by his father, kind of, with that thing in mind, he had said. And then as a friend, we say things to friends. Sometimes we say sarcastically, sometimes, we're like, my dear, it is not this, as a friend, this is what he says. So he says, I've made three types of mistakes. unknowingly, unknowing your greatness, out of inadvertence, and then considering you as a friend means taking you for granted. See, sometimes we say, oh, he's my best friend, so I can say anything, he or she, and I can say anything and he'll understand, but maybe we might hurt the feelings of the other person. So it's taking a person for granted. You know, sometimes we do it to our spouses or children. If we take, then we might say something which is not correct. So this is what Arjun is now saying. Then, yaccha vaha sarthamasat krutosi viharashayasana bhojaneshu ekothavapyachutatat samaksham tatkshamaye twamham prameyam. In whatever way I may have insulted you. See, he is only feeling guilty now. For the sake of fun, you know, while at play, reposing, sitting, or at meals, when alone with you, O Achyuta, or in company, that, O immeasurable one, I implore you to forgive. So this shows you how much together they were. Whenever Bhagwan was visiting them, he says, just for this, maybe they were just sitting and chatting at play. You know, they used to play sports or go hunting or something like that. Reposing, just resting, you know, in the evening after dinner, we say, oh, when we have guests, we do that usually. We'll have dinner, then, okay, all the work is finished. Now let's just sit and talk, you know. Sitting or at meals, they were eating together. Obviously, if Bhagwan is visiting, then they'll eat together. So he says so many, now he remembers all these things that, oh my God, you know, I didn't know. And because of that, or because I wanted to insult you, or I was being a little bit sarcastic, but all was done in friendship because I thought you were a friend. I didn't think you were this great. You were Bhagwan. Now I know your greatness, but this thing has already happened. So he says, please forgive me, O Lord, because it has happened out of these three things. This is what he's saying. Now he praises the Lord again. Pita si lokasya chara charasya tvamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan natvat samostya bhyadhika kutonyaham lokatrayepya pratima prabhavam. You are the father. Pita, you are the father of this world, moving and unmoving. See, now he understands, like, who I consider just as an ordinary friend of mine is like, how great is this person? Like, he's the creator of the entire universe, the father of the entire universe. So you are the father of this world, moving and unmoving, means now he understands everything is under his control. You are to be adored by this world. You are to be adored. I should have adored you, but instead of that, I didn't know. You are the greatest guru. Now he realizes, because all these 10 chapters Bhagwan has already taught him. So you are the greatest guru. For there none exists who is equal to you. How can there be anybody equal to the creator of this entire universe? In the universe. Cannot be anybody who's the same. How can there be then another superior to you in the three worlds, O being of unequaled power? So this is what he understands now. This is what Bhagwan is. The supreme most, the original creator of this entire universe, father of the universe. Bhagwan himself had said in previous 9th chapter, I think he says, I'm the father, the mother, the grandfather, great, everything I am only. It means I'm causeless. Like, you cannot go beyond me. You know, we go father, grandfather, great. We can go back in the lineage. You cannot go beyond me. There's nothing beyond me. So this is what he now recognizes, and nobody who is equal to you. See, even in Ramayana, you know, it is said that Dashrath and Kaushalya, in the previous birth, they had done a lot of tapas. And Bhagwan Vishnu came and gave them darshan because of the tapas. And of course, he asked them, what is it that you're doing tapas for? What do you want? So they say, we want a son like you. That's what you want. And there also Bhagwan says that there is nobody like me in this world. So if you want a son like me, then I only have to be born as your son. And therefore he comes as Sri Ram in the next birth. That's why Bhagwan says, there's nobody like me, you know, and another, if you take it from the Vedantic standpoint, there is only one consciousness. See, if you say there's somebody, that means there is duality, no? My neighbor is like me. If I say, then there is a neighbor and there is me, there's duality. But whereas in the Supreme Consciousness, there's no duality. It's just one thing. So how can there be anybody like him? That way also you can take it. But in qualities and all, if you, even if you take the form, there was nobody like even whatever he did, his leelas, Krishna did in his lifetime, nobody could have done that. So that way also. So now that is weighing on his mind, Arjun's mind. So he says, Tasmat. He starts with Tasmat. Therefore, so I have insulted you inadvertently, out of unknowingly taking you for granted. But now I realize that you are the, you know, father of everything. Tasmat pranamya pranidhaya kayam prasadaye twamahamishamidyam piteva putrasya sakheva sakyuhu priya priyar priyayarhasi deva sodhum. Therefore, bowing down, prostrating my body, I crave your forgiveness, adorable Lord, as a father forgiveth his son, a friend his friend, a lover his beloved, even so should you forgive me, O Deva. So now what he has done is, he is asking for three different examples he has given. Father forgiving a son, friend forgiving a friend, and husband forgiving the wife, or the wife forgiving, or the lover forgiving the beloved. And there were three reasons why he already said, these are the three reasons why I inadvertently insulted you. So the first reason was not knowing the greatness. Remember, he said, Ajanata Mahimanam. I did not know how great you were. And because of that, I have said things which can be construed as insults to you. So in the case of father and son, what happens mostly, especially when the kids are teenagers, what is the common thing? What does my dad know? What does my mom knows? Nothing. Dad knows nothing. So without knowing what the father actually is, the son will insult. Sometimes, you know, they'll say insulting words or sarcastic words, or, I mean, I know my children have done that. They're like, oh, what does dad know? You know, what does mom know? Right. So, but yet the father will forgive the son, right? Even though the son, without knowing the father's greatness, has said insulting things to him, the father forgives him. So for that reason, Arjun is saying, as a father, you forgive me. Just like a father forgives his son, because the son doesn't know the greatness of the father. Same thing I did. I did not know your greatness and I insulted you. So just like the father would forgive his son, you please forgive me. So that's the first thing. Second, a friend, his friend. So when we, second reason was inadvertence. Now he sarcastically said, he called him Yadav, right? To remind him that, you know, this Yadu king was thrown out of his palace by the father. So he says, a friend would forgive. Now, suppose if, because see, among friends, we would maybe tell our secrets. Best friends. So if somebody uses, our friend can use that secret against us and then insult us or say something harsh. That is what he has done. He has already done by calling him Yadav, with that in mind, that this, your ancestor had been thrown out of the palace. So he says, as a friend would forgive a friend, then please forgive me as your friend, because I have done it. It's wrong. I've done. That's why he's asking for forgiveness now. So friend is a friend, and lover is beloved. So sometimes we take our spouses for granted. And that's what he had done as well. He just took Bhagwan as for granted. And then, because, oh, it's my friend, I can say anything to my friend. So he took him for granted and he insulted him. That's what he feels. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But that's what he is feeling now. After looking at this kind of great, you know, Virat Roop of Bhagwan, he thought, oh my God, what did I think? You're just a little ordinary form, I thought, and this is what all I said. So therefore, he says that as a lover would forgive his or her beloved, you please forgive me in that way as well. Because I've taken you for granted and insulted you. I have sarcastically insulted you by referring to you with that name, Yadav, and without knowing also I have insulted you. So just like a father forgives his son, a friend forgives her or his friend, and a lover forgives the beloved. So please forgive me in these three. That's why he's given those three examples. Okay.
Adrishya.
Yes.
We can't hear you properly.
You can't hear me?
No, it's coming all fuzzy now.
Wow. Oh, your speaker is not working. Please check your connection or use a different speaker. I've got a message here which I didn't read. Yikes. How do I use a different speaker? Why is my speaker not working? Now I don't know what to do. Shall I try my iPad?
She's asking if she should try her.
Asked for forgiveness in three different ways. Like a son, like a father forgives the son, friend forgives a friend, and lover forgives the beloved. Okay. And the reason for these three types is because he had given three reasons for insulting Bhagwan. Like, you know, so the first reason was that I didn't know your greatness, and that's why I did it. So with the father and the son, usually that's what happens, especially teenage children, where they say that, oh, mom doesn't know anything, dad doesn't know anything, or they might say something insulting. So that's why he's asking for forgiveness, like a father forgives the son, even though the son has said something harsh without knowing the greatness of the father, because that's what he did. Without knowing Bhagwan's greatness, he insulted. Second was he sarcastically, he referred to him by his name, Yadav, to sort of remind him, you know, I know that there's a secret, you know, your ancestor was thrown out by his father. And he's asking because among friends, among very good friends, we tend to tell each other our, you know, innermost secrets. And maybe the friend might hold it against us and say something because of that. So therefore, he's asking for forgiveness as a friend forgives a friend. And then the beloved, we take our spouses for granted, or sometimes we take people for granted. We think that, oh, no matter what I say, you know, and generally it happens with spouse. Like we think, oh, what's going to happen? You know, especially in Indian family, oh, I can say anything, you know, and then. So that's why he's asking for forgiveness on these three different, in these three different ways. Okay. All right. Adrishta purvam rishitosmi drishtva. Bhayena cha pravattitam manome tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasida devesha jagannivasa. I am delighted having seen what was never seen before, and yet my mind is distressed with fear. Show me that previous form only, O God, have mercy, O God of gods, O abode of the universe. So he has got these two emotions at the same time. He is very much amazed, and he's delighted to see something which nobody else has seen before. He knows that Bhagwan has not shown this Virat Roop to anybody else, and possibly will not show it to anybody else in the future as well. So he is like one amongst all the millions of people on this earth or in this universe to have seen this. So he's very delighted. But at the same time, he's feeling fear. And the reason he's feeling fear is because of that Ati Ugra Roop. See, he was fine when Bhagwan was, you know, the Shanta Roop was there. Then the little Ugra, then it became Ati Ugra, where he saw all these people entering his mouth and getting crushed in between his teeth, etc. So he felt fear. So he was feeling both these emotions at the same time. Sometimes you know, when I was reading this verse, I thought even we feel, you know, when people like to watch horror movies. That's what came. No, Frankenstein, Dracula. You know, where there is this, or this supernatural. There's this show on TV. Super. Even looking at that commercial scares me. I mean, I don't even watch. But I'm watching some other show, and then they'll come up supernatural. So there's some ghost and this and that, right? And there are people who enjoy that. So this, I think I only have fear. I have no joy. That's why I never watch those horror movies. I don't watch. I don't like. But that is where they probably feel joy of seeing it, but they also feel the horror as well. So when there is joy with fear, it is an objective experience. It cannot be a subjective experience. Joy without any kind of fear is subjective. It is within. Now what is happening to him is, outside he's seeing this, you know, this whole Virat Roop, and it's very, very frightening. So now he's very, very frightened. He's happy, but at the same time that fear is there. So he's telling Bhagwan, please now you just come back to your original form, like you were before you went into all these different forms. And then he describes the form in the next verse. He says, this is the form that I would like to see. Kiritinam gadinam chakrahastam icchami tvam drashtumahattathaiva tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishwamurte. I desire to see you as before, crowned, bearing a mace, with a discus in the hand, in your former form only, having four arms, O thousand-armed, O universal form. So the universal form, remember, had thousand hands and thousand, because it was the entire totality of the universe that he was showing. And now Arjun is saying, come back to your original form with a kiritinam. So, you know, crown on his head, mace, he holds a, if you see Bhagwan Vishnu's picture, discuss, Vishnu has got the discuss in one hand, right? The Sudarshan Chakra. And your former form only having four arms. I'm sure the question comes is, did Bhagwan really have four arms, or was he born with two arms? That's the question there, because he's saying you have four arms, which means, did he really have four arms? So there is in Bhagavad Puran the story of a person named Paundra. Paundra was his name, and he wanted people to think that he was Bhagwan Vishnu. He was Bhagwan Krishna, Vishnu. So what he did was, he made he had only two arms. He was a human being. He had only two arms, but he made two more arms of hay and cloth. He made two more arms and he attached them to his body. And he said, I am only Bhagwan. And the reason for that story is, if he thought that Bhagwan has four arms, means Bhagwan did have four arms. But the beauty of it was, Bhagwan could bring those two additional arms out when he needed them. He had four arms, but only two were functional, but if he could bring those other two arms. And it is said that when he protected Draupadi or lifted her, it was with four arms. He could bring those out. And that's why this is saying, having four arms, I want to see that form of yours, which has four arms. He did have four arms. If we look at all the deities, they do have four, like Vishnu Bhagwan. Oh, sorry. Okay, some all new kinds of messages are coming. So he does have four arms, but even Bhagwan Krishna had four arms and he could bring them out, is Bhagwan. If you remember, I mean, in Ramayana also, there is a story, there is an episode when Shurpanaka comes, you know, Ram and Lakshman, and then Shri Ram asks Lakshman to cut her nose. So her nose gets cut, and then she goes off to her brother Ravana and cries and said, this is, and she lies that Ram did this to me. She never says Lakshman did. She says, Ram did this to me. So he sends an army, and there's only Ram and Lakshman there. You know, the whole army comes, his brothers or somebody, you know, he sends, not his brothers, but whoever. So what Shri Ram does is, because now there are so many people against only two people, or against only him, basically. So every person thinks that Ram is standing in front of him. This is Bhagwan's Maya. So he kills the whole army that way. Everybody has, you know, Shri Ram standing in front of him and fighting with him. That's how this four arms, even with Bhagwan's 16,000 wives, they said, because he had saved those princesses. So one day Narad Bhagwan came and he was also wondering how everybody is happy. So he went to Rukmini's house and he saw Bhagwan sitting there eating food. Then he said, I'll go to Satyabhama's house. So he goes there. He said, Bhagwan is there also. Then he goes to the third house, fourth house. Every house, Bhagwan is there doing different things with that different vibes. It's Bhagwan's Leela, right? So that way he had forearms. So that's why it is mentioned here that I want to see. He's not asking to see Vishnu's form. Huh? Vishnu's form is also the same. But he says, Bhagwan Krishna is an avatar. So even he had the Sudarshan Chakra. That is the difference. Okay. Now, so like Gurudev has written here, seeing Arjuna afraid, the Lord withdrew his universal form. So now he brought it back and consoling Arjuna with his sweet words, he said, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Prasannena Tava Arjunedam Rupam Param Darshitam Atma Yogat Tejo Mayam Vishwamanantamadyam Yanme Twadannena Nadrishtapurvam. The Blessed Lord said, graciously by me, O Arjuna, the supreme form has been shown to you by my own yoga power, full of splendor, primeval, infinite, universal form of mine, which has never before been seen by any other than yourself. So maya prasannena, I'm pleased with you. And because of my grace, I told you even with the divine eyes, what it means is you cannot see me until I want you to see me. So the entire control ultimately is with Bhagwan. I also told you for liberation, we go up to a certain stage, it is us. After that, we have to wait for grace. So same way, therefore, he says that because of my grace, you could see this Rupam Param, the supreme Rupa, which nobody has seen before and which nobody is going to be seeing before. And I did Darshita Atma Yoga. That is the key word here, Atma Yoga. We have to understand that word in detail. So Darshita, I showed you this because of my Atma Yoga. Tejomayam, Atma Yoga will come back. Tejomayam, very brilliant, but this brilliance is to be understood like to validate the sun, we need this Netra Jyoti. That is the brilliance. It's not like it's brighter than the sun, not like that, Tejomayam. But the luminaries, the five sources of light that we have, or we know, sun, moon, stars, lightning, and fire, they get their light from the pure consciousness. And that is what is meant here by Tejomayam. So I, as the supreme consciousness, become the most brilliant because the supreme consciousness is required to validate the sun, who is considered as the illuminator of the entire universe. Because sun is the illuminator of the entire universe, but who illumines the sun? So obviously the one who is illumining the sun is even more brilliant, more bright, than the sun itself. And that's what is meant here by Tejomayam. Vishwam Anantam Adyam. So Vishwam, of this universe, Anantam, which is infinite, you're the beginning, means you are only this world, and you're the beginning, the middle, and the end, which Bhagwan has said himself very many times. I understand that. I mean, this is what I am, most brilliant. Yanme Tvadanene Na Drashtapurvam. So this form of mind that you saw, universal form, has not been seen before by anybody else. Atma Yoga. So he says, I have shown you because of Atma Yoga. Atma Yoga means identification. That is what it means, the word. So what happens is, see, when we are identified with our body, actually yesterday only somebody sent me a little video clip on WhatsApp by Jaya Rao, and the way she explained, which is, this is exactly the same, we say identify. What she said was, when your mind is in the body, then anything that happens to the body, you will be affected. So when the body is sick, diseased, not feeling well, headache, this, that, it'll affect. When the mind is in the mind, then whatever is happening, whatever emotions are going through in the mind will affect you. And when the mind is in the intellect, then any insult, honor, dishonor, that will affect you. But if your mind is in the spirit, that is what she used the word, then anything that is happening in the body, mind, and intellect will not affect you. And what that is exactly what we are saying, but we are using the word identify. And this Atma Yoga is, so when you are identified with the body, means what? means when you consider yourself to be the body, which most of the people do, then whatever happens, when the body starts getting old, when the body cannot walk fast or do things fast or whatever, then it's like, oh, you know, I can't do this and I'm now, you know, getting old. The actual thing should be the body is getting old. I never get old. That is the separation. But because we don't have that, this is what identification is. So when I'm identified with the mind, some people are, you know, they're not bothered about the body itself, but they're very emotional and they're very sensitive. And then anything anybody says, they get upset and, you know, all that thing. So that is also identification. With identification, what happens is separation comes. See, when I consider myself as the body, everybody else around me is different from my body. Nobody is like my body. So when I'm considering myself to be the body, so if I were to consider myself as a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra, I have created divisions, right? I'm a Brahmin, so I'm different from a Kshatriya. I'm different from a Vaishya. I'm different from a Shudra. So Atma Yoga identified with Brahmin. So instead of identifying with I'm a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, or a Vaishya, if I say I'm a Hindu, okay? So what happens is then I've identified myself with all the Hindus, but then means all Brahmin, Kshatriya, everything. But then I'm separate from the Muslims and the Christians. So again, I've created a... So it's a higher level of Atma Yoga. This is, we are stepping up now. Rather than saying I'm a Brahmin, I say I'm a Hindu. Okay, then rather than saying I'm a Hindu, because Hindu is separate from a Muslim or a Christian, I say I'm a human being. Now, when I say, this is again Atma Yoga, I'm human being, but now I have identified with all the human beings of all the world, yet I am separate from the animals because I'm saying I'm a human being. I'm not an animal. So I've separated myself there. Now going higher up, I say I'm the Jiva. When I say I'm the Jiva, then I have identified with the entire sentient being. So all the plants, animals, but yet I have separated myself from inert matter because I'm Jiva. Jiva is the one with subtle body. Na? The stone doesn't have a subtle body. The table doesn't have, computer doesn't have a subtle body. So that is a higher Atma Yoga, but I have still separated myself. The highest is when I identify with the pure self. Once I identify with the pure self, that realization, I get identified with the entire universe. And this is what Bhagwan says. His Atma Yoga is, he is identified with the entire universe, and that's why he could show that whole universe within him. Because he knows that it is me only. We don't know that. Because why? Because I think I'm the body. Then okay, then I'm only this much body. Everything else is different from me. You understand? So these are the levels of this identity, Atma Yoga. So we need to go higher, at least at our level. The least, I tell even my senior students I have in the class, they say, but it's very difficult to consider myself not to be the body. I need the body, somebody said. I need the body. I said, yeah, I need clothes too. Do I become clothes? At least we need to get off of that ground that I'm the body. At least I'm not the body. At least I'm something other than the body, you know. And it's no good saying I'm the mind also. The mind is seen. Remember that anything that is seen, technical explanation, is false. Drik Drishya Vivek is there, a text. The seer seen, discrimination between seer and seen. And the first thing that is said is that the seen is always false. The seer is true. So if your mind, nobody else can see my mind, but can I not see it myself? Therefore, we must not consider ourselves to be the mind. We are the witness of the mind. Where Bhagwan is concerned, he is Bhagwan. He is the pure self. So that's why he says, Darshit Atma Yoga, Darshitam Atma Yoga. I showed it to you because of Atma Yoga, this highest Atma Yoga, which should be our goal. And at least at this stage, we should not consider ourselves to be the body. All right, going further. Na veda yad nyadhyayan, na veda yad यज्ञाध्ययन नैर्न दानैः न च क्रियाभिर्न तपोभ्युग्रही उग्रैः एवं रूप शक्य अहम् नृलोके द्रष्टुम् त्वदन्नेन कुरु प्रवीर. Neither by the study of the Vedas and sacrifices, nor by rituals, nor by severe austerities, can I be seen in this form in the world of men by any other than yourself, O great hero of the Kurus. See, Naveda. If you, this, what, how many things has he said? By the Veda, when he says by Veda means those who are just chanting the Vedas. Okay, that is what he means. They are doing Veda Adhyayan, Adhyayan study, study of the Vedas. So they are chanting the Vedas. Then some of them are doing Yajnas. We have seen many Yajnas, right? Chapter 4 told us so many different types of Yajnas. Previously, you know, Sri Rama's father, Dashrath Maharaj, he did Putra Kameshti Yajna. So, right, in the modern days, we don't do Yajna, but we work hard. That is the meaning of Yajna in modern day context. Okay. Then Adhyayan. Adhyayan, studying. Lot of studying. Na dana, danena. Dana is charity, giving. Na cha kriya bihi, na tapo bihi, ugrahi. So, na kriya bihi means any action. If you look at all these previous words, Veda, I said chanting of the Vedas, right? Yajna, you're doing yajna, homa, even if you do the traditional yajna, there is a fire, you're putting oblations, etc. Falling under action. Then adhyayan, studying. Studying is action. We think we are, there are a lot of people who think mission means we are on the path of knowledge. It is not true. What we are doing is we are studying. You know, we are studying the text, so it falls under karma only. It's a better karma than reading some other trashy novel, but it is nevertheless a karma. So this is adhyayan, studying also falls under karma. Charity also is falling under karma. You're giving something, right? And then any kind of action, he says, and ugra tapas means great tap. You know, people have done, the great example is Dhruva. Dhruva set out and did great tapas. Tapas gives purity of mind, nevertheless. Okay, and tapas gives results. Even Parvati ji, to get Shivji, she did so much tapas in the Himalayas. She ate leaves and then she didn't eat anything. And like if you read in Tulsi Ramayana, you know, huge tapas she did. But tapas ultimately falls under action as well. And it gives purity of mind because it is an action. It will give purity. That's all it will give. It doesn't give liberation. And that is why Bhagwan is saying, telling Arjun here. So ultimately what is it is my grace. So All these, he says, by doing all these things, they cannot see this universal form. Means from Vedantic standpoint, this is in duality, universal form, liberation. No action will give you liberation. It doesn't fall under the purview of action. So what, should I not do action? No, that is not an option because we do need the purity of mind. And so all these things are necessary, but don't think that they will be able to give you a vision of this form, of this universal form. This is what Bhagwan is saying here. Evam rupa shakya aham nruloke. It is not possible to see this. Drashtum twad annena kuru pravira. Like you are the only one that has seen it, and that the reason is because of my grace alone. And of course, he had the purity of mind. And he had, Bhagwan had already told him this much knowledge, but mostly it was Bhagwan's love for Arjun that he could see it. So please understand that when they say Vedas, they're saying only chanting, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be chanting the Vedas. In Mundaka Upanishad, we'll see that there the Guru says that there is a lower knowledge and a higher knowledge, and both have to be done because it is the lower knowledge which will give you an idea of the higher knowledge. Otherwise, you wouldn't even know that there is something higher. Unless you read the Vedas, unless you read the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita, you will not know that there is something else. Not know. We didn't know. I didn't know. So to get to even know that higher self, we need this adhyayan, this study and everything. But only that we cannot reach the supreme reality either. And this is what Bhagwan is saying here. Okay? Kuru Pravira, oh best among the Kurus. Let's do one more verse. Mate vyatha macha vimudha bhavah drishtva rupam ghoram idradmamedam vyapeta bhi pritamana punastvam tadeva me rupam idam prapashya. Be not afraid nor bewildered on seeing such a terrible form of mine as this. With thy fear dispelled and with gladdened heart, now behold again this form of mine. So Bhagwan is assuring him, please don't be afraid, and basically not bewildered, like surprised on seeing such a terrible form of mine. Because he had seen that Ati Ugra Roop. With thy fear dispelled and with gladdened heart, now behold again this means my, now I've come back into my original form. Now just calm down, just be happy and look at this form now. Okay, this is what. So what we'll do is we'll stop here and then the next five verses, we will finish the Monday after next, because next Monday is the family day. And after that, we will start with chapter 12. Is that okay? Are there any questions? Because we won't be able to do five in like 15 minutes. So I may as well stop here now.
Jayaji, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
Rashmi here.
You can video. What do you say for the video?
Yes. Can you explain me Atma Yoga one more time? Because the other day, I was just thinking about it, that I'm Hindu, I'm not Muslim, and what's, you know, all that political things. But you gave me the answer today. If I'm doing Atma Yoga, that means I have to go see this at the higher level.
Inside,
all are human beings.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you explain one more time?
See, this identification, we can take it in another way. If you're looking at the just the body externally, then every body is different from another body. Right?
Correct.
Now, you just go inside and you look at the bones, then you see the one, because everybody has got that many bones only. Just go inside a little bit. Blood. Does anybody have yellow blood or something? Everybody has red blood. Classification will be different. As the more internal you go, you will start finding the oneness more. So this is what we are trying to do. So if I say I'm the body, I'm differentiating myself from everybody. But if I say I'm the jiva, or you can, you know, even if I say I'm a Maharashtrian, okay, now I say I'm a Marathi, right? Immediately what I've done is I've separated myself from the Gujaratis, the South Indians, the Punjabis, the Sardars, everybody. But instead of saying I'm a Maharashtrian, if I identify with the whole of India and say I'm an Indian, now what I did, all of India now is mine, is one with me. Instead of saying Indian, if I say I'm a human being, because if I say I'm an Indian, I've separated myself from Canadians, from Europeans, from Americans, Singapore, wherever, you know, so there is still that separation, though it is a big, instead of saying Marathi, I'm saying Indian, it's a bigger identification. Yet it is not that big that it encompasses the entire world, right? Because I'm an Indian, so Canadian is different from me. So that's it. So if I say I'm a human being, now what I have done, no distinction of Canadian, Indian, European, whatever, we are all human beings. So it's a bigger Atma Yoga, right? Because that I'm expanding my identification. But yet it is not encompassing the whole thing, because by saying human, I'm differentiating myself from an animal. Because then the animal is different.
Different.
Right. So instead of saying human being, if I say I'm a jiva, now body is totally discarded. I'm the jiva. Now I've identified with the animals, with the humans, and with the plants, and yet the inert kingdom is still away from me. It's different. I'm saying I'm jiva. So computer is not me. Book is not me because there's no jiva there. So I have separated. So now I need to say I'm the pure consciousness. When I say that, this is what Bhagwan has done here. That I, Bhagwan is saying that I identify myself with this entire universe, and that is why I can show it to you. See, I'm identifying only body you can see of my, I cannot show anything else. So this Atma Yoga, this, these are levels of Atma Yoga. Level, it is an identification. Where are you identified with? See, I say this is my child, so then I only worry about my child. What about all the hundreds of kids out there that are, you know? So this sort of thing we need to expand. That's why at least, if we keep on saying, if we cannot get out of the thought fixation that I'm the body, how I will identify with anything else?
So Atma Yoga and Divya Chakshu, divine eye, is the same thing, one and the same.
When you go higher, yes.
Higher.
Yes, correct. That is the development of the divine eyes. Right now, my eyes, ordinary eyes, are only seeing this form of my thing, and I'm this body. Right. Now my divine eyes are seeing myself as the jiva. Now my divine eyes are seeing myself as the pure consciousness. So it's again levels. You go.
Thank you. Oh my God, you gave me answer. I was wondering about it, and here you go in the class. I got the answer. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, that's what it is. That's why at least that is the minimum thing we should try and do. It's this thing. Yeah. So any other questions? So we shall have a very happy family day next Monday. And we will meet the Monday after that. And we will complete this text at that point. This chapter. And we'll continue.